Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. My guest today is Rafael Tato Cortez da Pena, Tato. And we both have a little bit of raspy voice today.
Yes.
And so, you know, please forgive us a little bit. I'm in a cold and he's suffering a little bit from asthma, you said. So,
right.
So, you know, forgive us a little bit if we're some, it's a little raspy, but so be it. At least we're here. you know, in the pause, I was surprised when he, as you probably noticed, I was surprised when that he was in Vietnam. I knew he was in the Army and all, and I thought he was Judge Advocate, but no, you were the choice you made was to be you know, 2 years in the Army, and then the experience that you had was critical in terms of what had to be done in Vietnam. Describe, you know, what was your role and I always, when I went to the museum in Normandy, I was so impressed with the, you know, with the engineers and the logistics that are necessary for the Army. So so tell us about, you know, your experience in Vietnam briefly. Then we'll go to the transitions. Well, that was one of your big transitions.
That was yes, involuntary transition. Jorge, I went to Vietnam in 1970. As I said, when I got to Vietnam, there was no position for me. They had in excess 25 MP captains, so they didn't have any job for me, contrary to what had been said to me and to my commander in the Virginia base, that they needed MP captains there. And therefore, I was for a while in a PX investigation. There was a huge theft there. And finally, I was assigned to the Force Transportation Division as MP officer. And the MP officer, basically in a transportation division, his job is basically to provide security for the convoys mainly, and to provide security for the bases of that are assigned to your unit. The job was complicated because at that time, 1970, the United States was ready to leave Vietnam, but couldn't find how to leave Vietnam. And therefore, the morale of the troops was very low. And also, we had very little cooperation from the South Vietnamese Army. For example, we were in a convoy. The route was supposed to be cleared by the South Vietnamese Army. And all of a sudden, as my jeep and truck comes around, I find people sleeping, you know, next to the road. They haven't done anything. So it's a difficult period. There was a lot of drugs there that, of course, as MP, I was to deal with that. But when I say widespread drug, it was really widespread. And when you have a person that is armed, or he's driving a truck or he's driving a tank and is subject to some drug use, you have a big problem in your hands. And therefore, we as MPs had a big problem during that time, the 1970s in Vietnam. Eventually, I ended up too with being advisor to a Thailandese division that was a support division to Saigon. It was sort of a defensive line for Saigon. It was a great experience. The Thailandese didn't know too much of English, but we could communicate. And also in that base was a base of med evacuation helicopters. And I met very interesting people there, because when you're a pilot in the air ambulance, you have to go down to where the battle is, take the injured people out, and that's a very, very dangerous situation. They were very young people, very young flyers, and have a lot of respect for them. When I look back, it was an experience. My wife was pregnant at that time. She had stayed in Puerto Rico. And therefore, time that I was there, that I was always thinking of what would happen if something would happen to me, what happened to my child.
Right.
So I have to tell you that when I went to Vietnam, that my father-in-law took me to the airport with my wife. I said, the only thing I am asking that if I'm not back, the child is not named Rafael.
Not named Rafael.
Not named Rafael.
Okay.
So sounds funny now, but it wasn't funny that.
Why would you?
I did that because if something would happen to me, I did not want a child bearing my name to be reminding my family all the time that I wasn't there. So that's why I did that request to Dong Fang, my father-in-law, and my wife.
Wow. And these convoys, as I said in Normandy, that's when it really became conscious of how critical, you know, the engineer, the logistics, and you don't think about that. But you're saying these convoys sometimes were hundreds of...
70, 100, and we had a lot of protection from, you know, tanks, helicopters, so we always could ask for air support. You know, it's not a convoy of three or four trucks. It was very large convoys.
And that you bring the medicines, you bring the food, you bring the ammunition.
And the beer.
And the beer.
And the beer.
And you keep out the drugs. the illegal drugs.
Illegal drugs.
Yeah. Okay, well, one of the things I most enjoy about this program when I have a guest is to be surprised with information. I'm invariably surprised with information that I did not know about the particular person, and this aspect was something completely new. But let's talk about Empresas Caparra with that you were 20 years you were the chairman and basically what I think we've achieved. There was an article that came out, and in terms of, you know, talking about achievements, the article that came out on the 3rd of November in El Nuevo Día, and it's by Juan Carlos Balda, V as in Victor, A-L-D, and it's in Spanish, Integrar sin romper una sucesión familiar efectiva, to integrate without breaking. This kind of goes in with that lemma that came out, you know, don't break it. An effective family succession, and one of the things that he says in the article is excellent and really recommend. But one of the things he mentions, and I think it applied to us, is that you have the three roles, as he says, in terms, it goes through three. First is the creative founder, and kind of, you know, not things are relatively informal and all. Then you have the next generation that formalizes and puts procedures together. And then he says the third, the way in this article, the third generation then expands and works from that base and from that process and more formality that's been created. And I think by coincidence, that is what has been happening in Empresas Caparra. We had the founders, my father and uncles, or your father-in-law, and they were the creative establishing what we have in San Patricio, what we call the village, and San Patricio Plaza, and the mobile, and all of that. And then we have come in and under your leadership to a great extent and have formalized the operations. And needs to be formalized because there are three brothers. There were actually two brothers. Your father-in-law and my father were the ones that were day-to-day in the operations. We had two doctors that were involved they get, you know, they're two brothers, they get along, everything's informal. You had meetings, but you know, not with the format. And then you come in and we've tried to formalize things and to basically operate as at the same time that we're family, but that we have the formalities of a public corporation. So describe your role as chairman of the board, you know, what the challenges are and what you feel proud about your role with, you know, within Empresa Caparra, and if there's anything you think that in a transition like this that the listeners and people that are involved with these kinds of transitions should know and be aware of.
Well, I, as you said, I was for 20 years chairman of the board of Empresa Caparra. And one of the things that we did also at that time was to bring professional management into Empresa Caparra. Because before it had been either your father, Jorge, or my father-in-law, Don Fan, that would take care of matter. But as things got bigger and progressed, you needed to go outside the company to get this.
We had a couple. We had, but they were my uncle Lorenzo Vizcarronda, but his family member, and then we had Paquito, you know, in the dairy business, but also family member. So you're absolutely right. We decided
to go out, and we decided to go out, and again in a framework of bringing to do professionals to the company. And top people, we went out, and after the decision was made to bring professional management in, we engaged one of these companies that look for talent, and we did that and had interviews with various candidates. I eventually ended up with Eggy Navas. He was our first president from outside the company. Eggy had been a senior vice president of Resas Construction, a person well known to us. Very well qualified as an engineer and auto professional. He was with us many years. In my view, that was a big step. That was a big step, because if you would be looking farther down the road, as the families grow, then your stockholders are not anymore 10 people or 20 people. There will be 40 people, and that some of these people, they don't know very well each other. So it's imperative that you have top management and that you handle the company in a very professional manner. You know, get the best auditors that you can, make sure they perform their job correctly, make sure you have proper board meetings with agenda, with proper reports, that those meetings are scheduled every 2 or 3 months, that director have to go to the meetings, you know, that's their responsibility, and that management brings to the community all those matters that are important to the community, and the people then feel free, the directors, to express their opinion and to make a decision. We like to say that the goal was to act like a public company, which, as you know, have many formalities. Of course, the model is not exactly that, but it's a model adapted from a public company. I think that if you bring professionals in, if you really devote your time to improve the organization, that is a serious organization, that is handled a professional way, that guy goes a long way in terms of getting the trust of the family and the shareholders. And I think that was key. That was key.
And part of the formality is, and this is absolutely critical, is you bring people from outside, that you get the best people running the businesses. We did have two, that happened to be my brothers, but in the evaluation of everyone is done very formally with a committee, with evaluation reports, and then it's not done informally, and we look with a lot of care when that evaluation takes place. And the same thing happens with the auditors. We have an auditing committee, and it's not it's taken seriously that the auditors are performing, and that we have the right auditors, and we're asking the right questions. We have a legal committee also helping management make decisions on some, you know, major legal issues, and investment committee of the funds that we have, how we invest. Again, mm-hmm. have good people. Thank God in our family we have. Excellent professionals at all kinds of levels, from insurance, for banking, the business, to engineers. So tap into those experts and have them, you know, form part of this thing. So everything is done, you know, by the book. You know, the mm-hmm. money comes through the way it's supposed to come through. Nothing under the table. Everything done. You know, legally and formally and carefully. So under your leadership, we put together what we consider professionally run and all. At the same time, it's a family business, so there's got to be a lot of respect and love among everybody that's working. So that combination of the formality and yet keeping the family ties and the family relationships intact, you know, mm-hmm. which is, and I think you've done an excent job. We're running, you know, run on the segment. We got a minute, I think. Before again, I want to make sure that my listeners know who's mm-hmm. Speaking. Who's my guest today is Rafael Tato Cortez da Pena, and he was chairman 20 years of Empresas Caparra. And when we come back, we'll talk about. It happened in various of your organizations, but the transition, and you were the one who stepped forward, saying we need a transition to the next generation, and how we went about that, and I think that's important. I think for listeners as they whatever kind of organization they're in. Transitions are really important part of our well-being mm-hmm. and the well-being of our organization. So we'll come right back after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.